Want to finish your remarks, and we'll see what we can get done today on the time frame we're in.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and members of the committee. I'm essentially through the outline that we were asked to. I guess the only other thing that I would, offer is just when we were talking about the split of our time between project review and longer range planning. One of the requests that was made of us in our presentation to you is to describe workload factors and performance measures, and just to mention that, as we already have, I guess, that that we'll be looking at this mall building complex over the next biennium. That's just beginning now. There is the creation of a North Mall Historic District with the little houses that are up at the end of the mall. The legislature was good enough to provide some resources to have those houses relocated and put in a little cluster. That may be a good example of how the community has asked the state to provide some protection of this sort of rampant northern movement of state government up the mall, to the extent that it may appear to sort of gobble up the rest of the neighborhood. And we've sort of created this dividing line between the rest of state government and the neighborhood by establishing that little buffer zone with these little houses. We'll also be involved in Oregon State Fair projects, particularly given the fact that the legislature has taken such an interest in providing additional resources to the state fair. And there are some historic issues there. There are old buildings that need to be their future needs to be addressed.
Could you, Madam Chair? Representative Johnson, could you amplify that? I mean, this we've been dealing with the state fair grounds for a while, and I'm curious, what role would you play?
Madam Chair and Representative Johnson, we administer a master plan for the state fairgrounds. It is, as I've indicated with other master plans, it is adopted. It's an adopted plan. It's in the Oregon Administrative Rules. We, of course, rely a great deal on the state agencies over which we have developed these master plans to identify what their facility needs are. So specifically in relation to the Oregon State Fair, they are doing as you may know, are doing a significant kind of rethinking of what the program areas for the state fair are. And they do have existing buildings. They are a part of a long-range plan, and they are now modifying that long-range plan to do adjustments to that plan with the financial resources that they have. So our role is to review those plans relative to the master plan that is now being updated, and to assure that similar issues, whether they be traffic or consistency with City of Salem guidelines on convention space or whatever the implications of those master plans or those facilities plans might be, are addressed by our commission.
Follow-up, Madam Chair?
Representative Johnson.
The state fair, by anybody's estimation, is in terrible shape. They're struggling financially. They have a very capable director now who's coming in and essentially doing triage. What happens if her commission and her board and her folks that are helping her, that their plan isn't acceptable to you guys?
Madam Chair and Representative Johnson, I can't imagine that would ever happen. Our master plans are consistent with the facilities plans of each of the agencies. We have a master plan. I'll take another example for the state hospital, for example. We're in the process of updating that plan based on the facilities needs of that agency.
You're just continuing to make my point. If you're never inconsistent with the state agency plan, I don't understand what you do. And I don't mean that nasty-like. I just am mystified.
Take another run at that. If I'm missing,
I mean, I hear you. Intellectually, I understand the words. I get that part of it. It seems to me to have an element of redundancy about it. If the state fair did something that aggrieved, in a planning process, mm-hmm. did something that aggrieved citizens in Salem, they would have a mechanism through the city to object to that, would they not?
Not necessarily, and I think maybe that's the point, Representative Johnson, that there is independent review by the Capital Planning Commission, just as there would be, but there isn't, independent review by a local planning commission for a project. That's what plans are all about, and code language for projects to assure that they adhere to the adopted zoning or guidelines for that particular area.
And who do you end up as an advocate for? Because your money comes from agencies. That would lead one to believe you're supposed to be an advocate for the agency. The complaint may come from citizens that would put you adversarially to your agencies that you're supposed to, I mean, where your income is from.
Mm-hmm.
I just, there's something here I don't get.
Madam Chair, Representative Johnson, if I may, again, Carl Myers, the chair of the Capital Planning Commission. It is perhaps our very presence that keeps both sides from getting in an adversarial position. We have had, in my tenure on the commission, which is 12 years, I think we've only had one vote in which there was a negative vote. It's all been done by consensus. The one vote was on a principal issue, not on a development issue, and that's perhaps another story. But if the but we have been involved as all along with the state fair as it's gone through its process. They've made presentations to us, and through that then made presentations to the local neighborhood associations, the city of Salem, who and their representatives on our commission. I think it's our presence that gets these two factors involved early, so that they arrive at a consensus instead of us having to make a decision. I don't believe we advocate for either side. We are the forum in which the discussion takes place, and hopefully, again, early enough so that it isn't at loggerheads. In 12 years, again, we've never had a situation where it's been, do you vote for the state agency or do you vote for the neighborhood association? We've told the state agency, we're not going to vote on this right away. You need to go and work with the neighborhood associations or the historic preservation agencies or whatnot to come up with a compromise or a consensus. And generally, both sides are willing to do that. I'm not sure without the Capital Planning Commission that you would have that discussion early on. And I want to go on record. Again, I mentioned, Madam Chair, that I am leaving the Capital Planning Commission at the end of this legislative session. I've asked the governor to stay on through the budget process so that my experience as chair and my views as the chair could be made known through the budget process. And I want to go on record as saying, when I came on the commission 12 years ago, I was unsure as to what it did or what value it served to the community. I have become convinced in 12 years that the city of Salem, the surrounding communities, and the state of Oregon facilities are much better off for having us there. Again, we don't serve as a court of law and make decisions, but more as an interface between the governments and the local jurisdictions so that these can be discussed early, they can be thought out. And bureaucrats or agency heads are not so willing to go out on a limb if they know that there is in fact going to be some government review of the project. Not to say that they would, knowing that there is that review perhaps keeps some of the outlandish plans that might be out there for buildings or development off the table, and we get a more consensus-driven process. I wholeheartedly endorse the Capital Planning Commission, both as a citizen of Salem who lives and works here, but as a citizen of Oregon that thinks that, quite honestly, the process that we have ought to be expanded to other communities where state offices are developed and operate, because I think we serve as a good way of uniting the various entities and interests in a community for the betterment of all. I may not have said that as articulately as I wanted to when I came here this morning, but I hope you know that that I am sincere in my belief that Capital Planning Commission serves a valuable function.
Madam Chair?
Yes.
I just wanted to say for the record, when I first got here 15 years ago, I wondered what the heck you people did and why we had you. And 15 years later, I look out at the mall, and I'm really pleased that you're here, because I know a little bit about what the attempts were by for some of those buildings. And I know that in some cases you reined them back in and said, no, we're not going to give our approval. And they couldn't go forward without your approval, so we got something that really blends together as opposed to a whole bunch of little individual empires out there. So but I had a lot of the same questions at the beginning because it does seem redundant.
Thank you, sir.
You've been independent, and that's the piece that's, I think, left a nice look for all of the folks from the state and outside the state who come. To some extent, it's worth more than just to the people of Marion County.
Thank you, Senator Dukes. Representative Butler?
Madam Chair, I'm examining the revised statutes under Section 276 relative to the statutory authority of the commission, and I still am having some problems as to identifying how the income is derived. I wondered if we've made any headway on the actual income derivation for the. We've had two different opinions as to where it comes from or how it's assessed.
Dallas, go ahead.
Madam Chair, members of the Commission, we still have two. I took the write-up out of this, which made eminent logical sense to me, that it was based on square footage of facilities within the jurisdiction of the Commission. It was an assessment of those state agencies. The budget instructions, however, that Sarah Gates made her statements from, says that it's on FTE, but it's not all agencies FTE. So we put in a call to the budget ace at the Department of Administrative Services, and that he was not at his desk. So we know that it's an assessment of state agencies.
Madam Chair, just for a point of clarification, I think my calculation was that the overall increase was 7.72% from one biannual max. And if, in fact, the assessment is based upon the number of square feet owned or occupied by agency in a geographical area, then it would be very self-serving to be building buildings. So I'm wondering, and of course that assessment must be modified, but I can't find the statute where it, and it must be here somewhere, where it derives its authority to assess. So I am further confused, but I appreciate the comments of Senator Dukes relative to the appearance of good planning, and I think we've had good planning. That the only concern that I have is that with the direction that Department of Administrative Services has taken in assuming a greater role and responsibility of the coordination of all governmental agencies, I don't know why the Capital Planning Commission itself couldn't be folded into the as a part and parcel of the Department of Administrative Services. So, but I would like to know where the revenue stream comes from and be certain of that.
Senator Dukes, respond. I think it probably could be folded into DAS, but I have also watched DAS go through a number of metamorphoses since I've been here. They haven't gone through any that I've noticed, but DAS has. And we're looking at a new governor next time, and I just don't know that they would survive in the form that we have become dependent upon them providing in an agency that's under a statewide elected official who may care this, you know, one may care, the next one may not care about them, and they could fall into disrepair if somebody decided that they needed more money in this section of DAS and less over here. I just think that if we want to protect and coordinate what we have, that they're probably best standalone. That doesn't mean I think they need a little pitch, though.
Madam Chair and Representative Butler, may I respond to that just for a moment? I think it's acknowledged that the Department of Administrative Services Facilities Division manages a lot of state property. There's no question about that. But, you know, frankly, we spend almost an equal amount of time with other agencies that do not use the services of the Department of Administrative Services for their facilities planning. I'll use just a little example that's come up just within the last couple of months. We've been working very closely with the Department of Forestry. Department of Forestry, as you probably know, on State Street has a structure on their property, the State Forester's Office, that is a historic landmark. There are other parts of the State Forestry complex that have historical significance. They are on the historical register. They are governed by federal law, administered by the State Historic Preservation Office. When the Department of Forestry decided that they wanted to remove and change some of the buildings, they were actually out of compliance with state historic preservation guidelines. The State Historic Preservation Office had no way to access the decision-making within the Department of Forestry, not DAS, Department of Forestry, to have some kind of discussion with them about the removal of historic properties. The Capital Planning Commission provided that forum. So we worked very closely with both Forestry Department and the State Historic Preservation Office to try to come to some resolution over that conflict. Forestry wanting to go forward because they had the legislative authority with through their budget to proceed. State Preservation Office saying, but you know, we have buildings out there that were built during CCC time. Now they may not look beautiful, they may not be wonderful buildings, but they are a part of the history of this state. So to find a resolution to that issue when the agency, as far as they're concerned, you know, cut them down, burn them down, trash them, turn those buildings into salvage material, was not in the best interest of at least another state agency that had responsibility for preserving those structures. So that's maybe a small example of the kind of role that we played.
I appreciate your comments. I've not yet once heard you use mediation, though. Can you tell me if you do use mediation?
Well, essentially, I mean, I'm actually a trained mediator, and that's I'm glad you said that, but it...
Community dispute, I mean, the dispute resolution program within the state.
Madam Chair, you're right, we don't, but I believe that it's because of the guidance of the Commission itself and its makeup and its approach to disputes, as well as the training of the staff of the Commission to play that role.
I have an assessment, is that right, Sarah, for mediation? Mediation? Community dispute, I mean, dispute resolution program.
I would check on that to make sure.
On page 5, it says mediation facilitation is a tool to resolve policy and community issues unless tangible. Equally important element of the Capital Planning Commission program is its role in mediating the resolution of competing interests. So I just thought probably you use the...
I think that they're referring to the role of the commission itself.
Okay. Well, I think what we'll do is... we'll revisit this first thing in the morning. Any of the committee members who have any concerns, if you could stick around and address those, and then we'll go into work session first thing in the morning, if that's all right, because I think we do have some members with some questions. And then we will also, LFO, your recommendation probably is going to be to unschedule the technical. Would you comment on that?
Madam Chair, members of the committee, given the discussion, our recommendation, we have some minor adjustments to the budget request, but also it would be to unschedule the policy option package money for information technology pending review of by the appropriate legislative committee, which would be either Representative Hill's Advancing E-Government Subcommittee or the Joint Legislative Committee of Information Management Technology. Given the concerns about the costs, and we will also bring forward tomorrow morning clarification on the revenue source. This is an extreme embarrassment. I would say Sarah and I usually have our act together.
We'll get it figured out.
Okay, with that, we'll close the...
Madam Chair, can you ask a question? The unscheduled funds, will that come back to us, or will that go to the government if they'll process it? So we won't see it again?
that would be the result of the unscheduling. That would make the recommendations to the Department of Administrative Services and how much to reschedule.
And if there's, I'm sure Representative Hill wouldn't mind if those of us who are interested would be like to sit on the committee and listen. I'm sure that he would be willing. I'm not going to speak for him, but I'm sure he would welcome us if there's anyone that would like to sit in on that hearing and take part in the e-commerce committee. Any other questions or discussions? And we will address this first thing in the morning as far as the work session. Okay. And with that, I'll close the public hearing on House Bill 5005, and we'll open a public hearing and work session on LC 4133. And Dallas, do you want to talk to us on that one?
Yes. Briefly, Madam Chair, members of the committee, you have before you legislative concept 4133, which is a bill that was drafted at the request, I think, of the support of the co-chairs. And this bill, we were seeking approval to have it brought forward to the full committee, and it would have to be drafted again and brought to the floor. What this would do, if enacted in statute, would allow the Treasury, working with the Department of Administrative Services, to refund existing state obligations with lower price, lower costing debt, without having to come and seek expenditure limitation. That's been, the windows sometimes are very narrow to take advantage of the drops in interest rates, and this would, agencies have, if they didn't, don't have expenditure limitation to go ahead and issue the debt, have had to wait for legislative approval, I think the emergency board of this would facilitate their issues of debt that would strictly be used to refinance or pay off existing debt, adding savings to the state. The legislative oversight is still provided because the Department of Administrative Services will be required to report this so that the appropriate adjustments can be made in future budgets. So that's this bill, this concept is brought forward to the subcommittee for its recommendation to the floor with the idea of if approved, then it would be drafted.
Then it would be brought back to the next legislative session with a full report of any action that took during the interim. Should we not be in session?
It would be to the Ways and Means or to the Emergency Board.
Oh, to the Emergency Board during it. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
That would be the reporting of the refunding, the reporting requirement. It would be to the Joint Committee on Ways and Means or to the Emergency Board.
Okay. Thank you.
Any further discussion?
Madam Chair.
Representative Hayden.
I did initially have some reservations about this because I was concerned that it might be a continuing opportunity to manipulate ending balances so the kicker would not kick. I thought that perhaps administration had discovered an ongoing process whereby, notwithstanding the fact that the kicker was constitutional, that by manipulating ending balances, that it would never be possible to return funds to the public, the overpayment of revenues. But it's been explained to me by the legislative fiscal officer and others that, in fact, this is a fairly unique opportunity to I don't want to use a pejorative word here, but a fairly unique opportunity to what's the word I
refinance?
To refinance the revenue balances so that the debts may be paid in this biennium, and the refunds will not be made to the public in view of the fact that this is a fairly limited thing, and that this bill does not in fact address that, does not in fact address revenues. I'm prepared to support it.
Thank you, Representative Hayden. Senator Dukes.
I think it makes very prudent fiscal sense to move forward with this. However, if we could amend it to do what Representative Hayden thought it did,
all right. Okay. Any other discussion, Representative Butler?
I move that we go ahead.
Oh, yes. Oh,
aren't we
yeah, I opened
open
the public hearing.
Public hearing.
And we're fishbowl,
didn't I, Linda,
yes,
say we're
fishbowl? Yes, she did.
If not, we are in work session on legislative draft 4133. Do it, to be sure.
Move that we advance the legislative concept 4133 into bill format in accordance with the discussions from legislative fiscal and the desires of legislative fiscal and the co-chairs.
And move it to full?
Mm-hmm.
And move to full committee? You've heard Representative Butler's motion. Any objections? If not, so moved. And we are, tomorrow morning, we will do the work session on the Capital Planning Commission and also.
Then you'll have the Government Standards and Practices Commission scheduled for 2 days. That will be with Lori Byerly of our office, I believe. And Thursday is still to be determined as a scheduled open date.
Okay. Thank you for the work of the committee. We are adjourned. Bigger and more difficult issues, I guess.
There we are.
Doing
it.
I would appreciate it. Thank you very much. Thank you. I